Well, I think the reason why we have Thanksgiving in the second weekend in October is because that's when all the harvest is supposed to be done and the garden is in, and we come here and celebrate everything that has been done. And we are in a situation where that is not, there's still a lot of work to be done out there. So perhaps it is doubly appropriate that our verse for today is, in all circumstances, we are to give thanks. And this is a time when there's still many things to be thankful for, even if there's a lot of work to be done. Not all of us are farmers, but all of us can probably think of things that we wish were still completed. For myself, I have been fighting this back sprain that I've been hoping would go away for the last couple weeks. So I did not miss the irony when, in order to work out my back, I would go on these long walks out to Westview Community Care and back. And while I was doing that, I would think about this sermon, which is, give thanks in all circumstances. So there I'm with my back and thinking about, I've got to be thankful right now. And it helped me to think about people like what's already been mentioned, Fred Taves, who for months and months and months has been in the hospital with congestive heart failure. And now he is in continuing care, but still not sure what to do with him. He can't come out, and he lives on. And I go and visit him, and I don't know what it is, but for the first time I'm able to talk to him. He can hear me, and that's been a problem in the past, but I've had great conversations with him. He is friendly, he is upbeat, he is thankful. And I say to him, Fred, you've been in the hospital a long time. Tell me how your spirits are. Are you discouraged at all? And he'll say to me in his breathy voice, have to practice what I preach. So I'm sure that for all his life, and Ken Taves can probably back me up on this, he has been preaching that we need to be thankful always. There's always things to be thankful for. He strikes me as that kind of man who would have lived that way. And he lived a very active life and did a lot of big things. And it just seems wrong to me that every day he's just sitting in his chair there. But he is insistent that month after month here, he needs to practice what he preaches. And I hope that I too can practice what he has been preaching, to be thankful in all circumstances. Well, somebody here said, I think it was Aubrey said, that one of the reasons we still need to be thankful even when things are bad is because, what did she say? God still has a plan. God still has a plan. This last Tuesday, I was apt to be unthankful. I was interested in watching some of the baseball playoffs that were to start that day. And the satellite TV quit. So no matter what we did, I could never get the signal to go up above 0%. And I got on the phone the next day and called the TELUS help line. And she was clearly just going through her manual of procedures, and she was getting nowhere near what the problem was in front of me. And so I would try to help her along, but no, she needs to go through her steps. And about a half hour later, I made the mistake of saying, it happened right during the snowstorm. Oh, she said, let's just wait 24 hours and see what happens. I said, well, can you at least call me tomorrow? My end game now is to try and get a technician out. Yes, she would. Well, she didn't. So I called again, and just so you know, I'm not picking on women. It was a man this time, and the same thing. Just going through his manual of procedures, and I knew we were getting nowhere close to the problem. I thought, okay, I'll just be as nice as possible to him, and hopefully at the end he will say, and I will send a technician out. Well, again, it was over half an hour, and finally he said, well, it looks like we have to send a technician out. Good. And so I'm going to put you on hold and then see if there is somebody. And it was getting close to Thanksgiving weekend. I didn't know, you know, get one. So he comes back on, he says, I have good news. I have a technician ready for you, and he can come in the time slot between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. tomorrow. Will you be at home? I said, yes, I'll be at home. If he could just give me a call before he comes, that would be nice. And then I can make sure I'm there. So this was Friday. The technician comes at 10 o'clock. And I knew him. His name was John, and he was very good at what he does. And he looked at me, and he saw that I was wearing my Miller College of the Bible hoodie, and he said, oh, Miller, I went there. Really? Well, I said, what year did you go? He said, well, I went in 2015, but I wasn't a Christian then. Oh. So then we got talking, and it was just really refreshing. He had become a Christian a year ago. And it was refreshing because he just talked about, you know, all the dumb things he did back then. He did because, well, he wasn't a believer back then. But now his life was different. He was headed in this way. And he knew that a lot of the things that he had done, he were still a mess in his life. But he just was so clear, my life is in a new direction, and I'm headed there. And as he worked, we talked. I said, John, it's very interesting that you are here today. Because the man I hired to come in and do renovations in the house, and he's in the house right now, was on staff at Miller in 2015. Do you know him? His name's Scott Gerbrandt. Oh, John says, I think I remember that name. So Scott came up, and Scott knew John, and they greeted each other. And then we just kept talking. And soon we were each sharing about, you know, dark times that we had experienced in our life, and how God had made himself very faithful and taught us things in the midst of those dark times. Pretty soon, Scott was no longer doing renovations, and John was no longer fixing the TV, and I was no longer interested in coming back to the church to work in the Thanksgiving service. And I should say this, John, he was, I don't know, he's in his young, early 20s, and he just looks, you know, just kind of longer hair and so forth, and one of these millennials. and he says, you know, at the end of it, that God just shows himself good when cuts, and Scott says, scars? Yes, God is good in the scars. I had to give my head a shake. This is my TELUS satellite technician talking right now like this. Well, he said, when he was done, he said, just so good to be with believers. And we all agreed. It was a good time together. And then he said, yes, I'll see you later, and walked out. And I said, well, then I'll have to stage another satellite TV breakdown. And he said, well, if you pull the power cord out of the outlet, the satellite doesn't work. Yes. So I'll have to try that in a month, I guess. There's an angle on this story which just shows that this actually was about Scott and John, the satellite technician, and I was just an unwitting agent in God's plan. And it has to do with actually how the TV got fixed. Eventually, he said, I got bad news. The problem is somewhere between the joint in the cable in the boiler room and here on the wall end. And I said, so you're saying it's a problem with the cable and I've got to replace the cable. He said, yep, and that's a cost. And he said, but unless there is some joint in between here and there, it's the cable. Well, I said, well, I got a drop ceiling in the basement and I can follow that cable, so I'm just going to have a look and see if there's anything that I might see. So I went in the basement and I began to move the panels off the ceiling, found the cable, came across, and here attached to the joist was a little box about this big, and the cable went into it from one side and out of it the other side. I called John over. I said, what about this? He says, oh, there's your problem. That's a splitter. You cannot run a satellite signal through a splitter. You can run a cable signal through a splitter, but not a satellite signal. I will bypass that splitter and your TV will work. I said, John, for the last 4 years, my satellite signal has been going through that splitter and it's been working fine. Well, being the millennial, he just shrugged his shoulders. I fixed that and your TV will work. Can I have something to stand on? He said. So I went, okay. Went and found him something and he bypassed it and sure enough, the TV worked. So it's just interesting how the sequence of events. Scott Gerbrandt arrives in my house Monday evening in order to do renovations. Tuesday, that splitter, which had been working for the last 4 years, finally does what it's expected to do, which is not to work. I then get on the phone and call for a technician. The technician comes in on Thursday, and he and Scott met. And Scott told me afterwards that when John was at Bible school, he was trouble. He didn't care about his studies. He clearly was not a Christian. And he gathered around him a few others, and they made a lot of trouble. And Scott was part of a team that decided that they would prevent or stop or ask John not to come back in the second semester. And they told him this. And he had no plans on coming back anyway. It was a heart-rending decision for Scott and those around him because they did not know what they were releasing him into. Maybe he could get some help at Bible school, but just his effect on all those around him was so negative. And so they told him that he couldn't come back, and he didn't. And then to discover this miracle that had happened just a year ago, and to have it worked out that Scott comes from Saskatchewan, he's in my house, the technician comes from wherever he comes from, and he's in my house. And they met there, not only in my house, but in the small space behind my TV. And I say that because when Scott met John, he was holding in his hand the baseboard that he had just prepared to put on the wall behind the TV. So then they were kind of negotiating as to who would go behind there first. And I think that God just sort of threw that in as a, just for fun. And it was, I think, a wonderful thing for Scott to come across this person who they did not know what had happened to him. And here he had found Christ and his life was changed. And we just had sweet fellowship over the afternoon and Friday. Now back to our verse. How much right did I have to complain that I would not be able to watch baseball playoffs on Tuesday? Well, about that much. Because, as Aubrey says, we do not know what God's plan is in these things. And as these things happen, we should have some faith that God is taking what appears to us as something bad, and he's fully capable of turning it into something good. I mean, that's what happened to Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery, and all of these things happened in Egypt. And then he became the second most powerful ruler in Egypt, and through that was able to save his family. And he says to his brothers at the end of Genesis, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." And God does this again and again and takes the difficult things that we face and turns them into something beautiful. And we just need to be thankful at all times that he is doing this, even when we cannot see the way forward. Well, this is the thing that God expects of us, to be thankful in all circumstances. Last week, we had a look at what does the great God in heaven, who is a consuming fire, expect as an acceptable sacrifice from us. And we are kind of surprised to discover that it is, let brotherly love continue. Something as plain and simple and ordinary as that. It happens in this verse too, where it's set up in a grand way. What is God's will for you in Christ Jesus? What big thing could that be? It's as if we are in a theater and there's a big curtain, and on it it says God's will for you in Christ Jesus, and there's an orchestra and the drums are playing, and the brass stands up and lets out a great announcing blare, and the spotlight shines on the stage and the curtain pulls back. And what is it that is God's will for us in Christ Jesus? To be thankful in all circumstances. Perhaps some are disappointed, hoping for something more. But think about it. If all Christians at all times were thankful, what a difference it would make to us and to our world. And I bet the devil has nightmares about Christians being thankful at all times, like that Fred Taves man. And what can he do to us then? How can he get his claws into us if we are thankful at all times? His power is to make us afraid and grumble and complain, gripe, get angry, upset about the things happening out there. And if we are thankful at all times, all of that stuff out there cannot get to us, get to our mind and our heart. Well, I just wanted to finish with these verses in 23 and 24, which I find some of the most encouraging in the Bible. Because in it, God says, I will get you to that place where you rejoice always, give thanks in all circumstances, pray, hold on to what is good. Verse 23, it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Trust in that God. He is faithful, and he will do it. He will make you the kind of man and woman that he has intended you to be. Father God, we are so thankful that you are at work in so many wonderful ways. And we should never have reason to fear, because no matter what the circumstances, you have a plan. You have something up your sleeve. And we entrust our lives to your faithful care. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us at all times. Amen.